Thank you very, very much. I now have the honor of presenting to you an extremely important person in Klal Yisrael. And I don't say this lightly. For years and years, Rav Noach Weinberg Zuntzain, the Rosh Yeshiva Esh HaTaira, had a concept that if we were to awaken the sleeping giant, we can actually start to deal with the 5 million people out there who need a way back to Yiddishkeit. If we were somehow to motivate us, the people from people who have a Jewish education, who went to yeshivas, who Baruch Hashem know how to learn, they may not have the confidence that they know what to say, but ultimately they're perfectly trained for this job. If we can get to them and have hundreds of thousands of ambassadors of Torah, we can get the job done. But he was frustrated because we never had a way to do it. Along comes a younger man whose name is Rabbi Chaim Samson. I'm about to present him. And he comes along and he's mamchish this idea, this dream. And he goes ahead and makes it real. And he creates all kinds of tools, and he builds an organization around him. And I can tell you that to this point, literally, 600 or 700 from people have been trained, if not more. He'll update you on the numbers. Each one of them doing at least one outreach act per week, which means in the last 6 months, tens of thousands of individual outreach events have happened. Individual events where people have contacted each other. It's mamish hafla fella. And it's, for me, a tremendous covet. It's a tremendous covet for me to be able to be working in this organization, and even a greater covet to present to you Rabbi Chaim Samson.
Good evening. Shvatav Kesvach to everybody. Yeah, I'm reminded with that introduction. I had the schus of introducing Rabbi Becker in Toronto a couple of days ago, and I introduced him, and he got up, he said, with introductions like that, next time I'll make my own introduction. So I appreciate the generous words. I think we have over 1,500 people that have come through our Kiruv trainings, our 3-5 part, and many other one-off evenings as well. Probably make it to a few thousand, but Baruch Hashem, we're just getting going in Yitz Hashem. I missed the beginning of the talk, but I just to put a context, and forgive me if there was any repetition here, so what are we doing here? And first of all, I thank you all very much for coming tonight. You know, one of the things that we tell people is that the Almighty is Makarov. All we do is put in the Hishtadlus. So the fact that you're here tonight and you're putting in the Hishtadlus makes a difference to Klal Yisrael in and of itself. I just like to share that my personal story is Baruch Hashem. You know, I've been involved as a Kiruv professional for many years, working with Esh HaTorah in Yerushalayim, running the introductory program and work on discovery. Baruch Hashem, I had the great source to be involved in Esh London for 7 years, bringing many, many students to Yerushalayim on trips and being the educational director over there. And Baruch Hashem, for the last 7 years, I've been involved with Esh New York, working on the front lines. So one of the things that people sometimes, you know, wonder is, look, you know, you're a Kiruv professional. Like, you know, I look around the room, it's like, you know, it looks like a kind of frum audience. Is it a wrong crowd? I mean, shouldn't I be spending my time with people who are a little less, you know, not Flatbush and like Borough Park, not, you know, exactly where you want to be working. So what is this all about? So I just share with you very briefly before we get to the practical side, which is the ick of what I want to talk about, is that, you know, one of the things that Baruch Hashem, I was zocher to, is to become a Talmud of Rav Noach Weinberg Shliter Rav Yisrael Noach Ben Hinder Shliter Rafu Shlema. And in Yerushalayim, every week he would drum into us, he would give us a Musa Shmuz, and he would drum into us that this Klal Yisrael is your responsibility. That there's a crisis in Klal Yisrael. That every moment another one is intermarrying, another one is assimilating. That albeit that Baruch Hashem, there is a beautiful Baal Tshuva movement. And every single individual is an Olam Male. And everywhere, even an individual that decides to do one mitzvah, oh, what is that worth? At the same time, we are not winning the battle against assimilation and intermarriage. We're not winning. And we have to do something about it. And he would tell us, it's your responsibility as much as my responsibility. And he would drum it into us every week. And I come to you and I say the same message, that we are not winning the battle. But we can. And we know that the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to bring all of his children back. And how can we achieve that? If not by our understanding that yes, we have a chiyuv to reach out. And not only do we have a chiyuv to reach out, but we can reach out successfully. And that is what we're trying to do at Project Inspire. One of the things that we do in the Kiruv trainings is we give over the different chiyuvim, all the different mitzvahs, Hashavas Veda, Avas Hashem, Talmud Torah, Avas Reyin, Arvus. There are many, many mitzvahs, but one of the ones that always hits me personally is that Salas Nefashos, Lo Samad Amri Echa. And I always share this marshal, which is that, you know, the Chavetz Chaim is a Kol V'Chomer. If someone was dying in front of you, you would do something about it. It's a Kol V'Chomer. Someone spiritually dying in front of you should do something about it. So imagine if Chas V'Shalom, 90% of our generation, was dying physically. Would we say, you know what, I'd love to do something, but you know, I'm not quite cut out of it. I don't have the right personality. You know, leave it to the guys who can save people's lives. Oh, there goes another one. Or would you say, I have to do something? And if you saw someone says, you know what, if there was 90% of people dying physically, and they would say to you they're not cut out for it, would you say they're crazy? That's how could it possibly be? You couldn't sleep at night. So, if it's a Kol V'Chomer, how much more so we shouldn't be able to sleep at night? There's something about blood that gets to us. When people are dying physically, we feel it, and we react to it, and we can't sleep at night. When it's spiritual, which is worse, we don't feel it quite so much, so we have a good night's sleep. But that's the message that we're trying to get, that we together, with the help of the Ribbono Shel Olam, that he just wants us to try. If we want to bring his children back, the Almighty will do it. So I'd like to go into some practical things, practical ways of reaching out. And I'd like to just first of all share that, first of all, whenever you meet someone, whoever you know, people don't think that they know non-religious people, but you do. You meet them, they're all, whether they're relatives, whether they're people at work, I live in Passaic, people say, there are no non-religious people in Passaic, it's just a religious community, and Spanish people. Yeah, but you know what? Happened to find out that the postman, what do you call it in America? Mailman, excuse me, forget it. He's, you know, his name, Art Levine, Baruch Hashem, you know, we give him a little challah now, you know, the guy who refinanced my house, what's his name? Gary Cohen, you know, the guy who was pumping gas on Route 3 before you take to exit on a night, and a guy from Turkey, his mother's Jewish. If you're looking for it, you will see it everywhere. If you want to be makarov people, the Almighty will bring them to you. So certainly, people that you meet, whether it's you meet on the streets, you meet wherever it is, on a plane, on a bus, these are people that we should at least know how to talk to. So I'd like to give a couple of tools. First of all, very simple tools. First of all, before we go there, how many people here came to our Kiruv, have been to the 3 to 5 part Kiruv? Just a show of hands, just so I know what kind of audience, a small percentage. Okay, fine. We're going to do new material, but I'm just, want to know who I'm speaking to. So the first thing is that you're going to have this card, which there are cards at the back on that table over there. Everybody should take one of these cards. It's the H.com WallCam card. Right? And this is a very simple thing to give to anybody. And it's a very simple way to do it. You say to people, you can have just met someone, you say to them, have you ever been to Israel? They're either going to say yes or no. They're probably not going to say maybe. Say yes or no. Right? Whichever they say, you basically go the same way. Which is, how would you like to go? Or how would you like to go again? Tonight, in the comfort of your own home. How would you like to do that? They go, well, how can I do that? You show them this, you give them this card, you say, go to this h.com/wallcam. It's a 24-hour camera on the western wall. It's absolutely scintillating, right? It's amazing. You've got to see this. And while you're there, take a look at the rest of the site. It's fascinating articles. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. This is a very easy thing to do. I know that when I was buying these shoes and Harry's shoes on the Upper West Side, there's a guy, you know, I saw on his shoe horn, it says Markowitz, a bit of a giveaway, right? Markowitz. I say, your name's Markowitz, right? He said, yeah, you saw the shoe horn, right? So I said to him straight away, I said, have you been to Israel? Straight into it. I gave it to him, he took it, and he was fascinated by it. The other day, I was teaching a Kiruv training program in 5 towns. I stopped on the side. A young person, it was a little sad, came over to me and said, you know, can I have some money? I was a little taken aback. The first thing I asked him was, are you Jewish? I wanted to know, this kid is in a Jewish neighborhood. He says, well, my mother's Jewish. So we got into a chat. I said, no, and then I started asking him, you know, how come you're asking for money? I got to know him a little bit and so on and so forth. And in the middle of the conversation, I said, listen, if I give you this website, you know, will you take a look at it? It's a fascinating thing. There are many articles on this site that could help you with your life. And he told me he's going to look at it. I got his email address. Often when you meet people, try to get their details, because if you don't get the details, you can never really know. I remember one time I gave one of these. I officiated at a wedding a bunch of years ago of two students at Ace New York. And I remember there was a photographer there, and I gave the photographer one of these cards. And for a couple of years, I was not in touch. I had this photographer's card in my wallet, and every few months I'd say, I've got a call, and I wouldn't do it. After 2 months, I called, and I said, I don't know if you remember, but I was the rabbi officiating the wedding. I don't know if you remember. He said, you're the rabbi who gave me that H.com WOCAM card. I've been getting their articles for the last 2 years. This person lives near Lakewood. They came to ask for Shabbos, Baruch Hashem, on the way to becoming a Shomer Shabbos. You never know what something like this can do. It's a very simple thing, and minimally, you are fulfilling a chiyuv that you have of reaching out. I know that Rabbi Orlovsky, I've heard Rabbi Milstein say it as well, but that he gives a marshal that imagine a person that it gets to Shemayim, and he's when he's there, he's going on the up escalator. And as he's going on the apple, he sees his non-from neighbor going on the down escalator, waving at him. So he tries to avert his eyes. He's looking a little bit uncomfortable. You know. Finally, he says, hi. He says, how are you doing? The non-from neighbor says, well, actually, you know, not so good right now. So he says, how are you doing? He says, yeah, pretty good. You know, pretty easy. Just fine. He says, tell me something. You know this up in the escalator, down escalator business? Did you happen to know about this before? Before we got here? He says, yes, as a matter of fact, yeah, I did. I knew all about it. He says, I was your neighbor. I mowed your lawn. I babysat for you. 20 years were your neighbor, and you didn't say, why didn't you say something? You have to say something. This is the biggest block to Kirov, in my opinion, is the fear that we have of just, you know, getting outside of our self-involved envelope, that we feel like, you know, I kind of feel uncomfortable, you know, it's like, you know, what right do I have to sort of like infringe on his or her space, you know, it's not really right, you know, maybe I'll say something and he will, she will write a letter home to my parents and say, I can't believe what your son, I mean, what's going to happen? You see, when, forgive the marshal, but if someone, God forbid, was about to jump out of a window, would you say, you know what, I believe my moral philosophy, each to his own, you know, I don't want to invade anyone's space, you know, absolutely not. You would do whatever you can, you tackle him down to the ground, you do anything to save the life. You do, or, let's say it's a person's family, your brother, your sister, your children, and your children are doing something that's destructive to themselves. Do you say, you know what, you know, I don't want to infringe. Let them destroy themselves. Let them damage themselves. We don't say that either. You know why? Because when it's your family, you care enough to say, I have to do something, even if it means infringing on their space. We say that. Number two, when it's life and death, we realize that the consequences are so great that we know we have to do something. We have to appreciate this is both of those. What do I mean? When a person passes you, it's life and death. It's their eternity, so to speak, is in your hands. You could do something, and of course, Ein Hachinami, the Almighty, you don't know whether you're going to be successful, the Almighty is the one who brings the results. But the Hishtadlus, that it could be, that maybe you plant an idea in this person's mind, you try something. Surely you have to try. And secondly, it is your family. This is our family. Achenu Beis Yisrael. These are our brothers and sisters. We have to care about them. So the first thing is to give this card. H.com WOCAM card. We have another one, which is also something which you can give, which is, you know, one of your guys, you know, John Adams, right? one of your guys, one of your presidents. So what he said about the Jews is fascinating. This is a simple card you can carry around with you. You know, and again, a simple thing you can just say, you know what, I saw someone gave me this card recently, and it is totally fascinating. I thought you might appreciate it. What John Adams says about the Jews. And it can touch a spark. You never know. It has at the bottom of it, you know, for more information, go to www.h.com. They can find out more information. On the back of it is what Paul Johnson, who's a non-Jewish historian. For some reason, if it was a Jewish guy, they wouldn't believe it. Has to be a non-Jewish historian. Say what he says about the Jewish people. Oh, wow, isn't that amazing? You know, gives it sort of validity. But also, absolutely remarkable how he describes the Jewish contribution to the world. And it can touch something. So these are two cards that are very simple things that you can give. Now, I want to pick up a little bit on what Rabbi Milstein mentions. He said prayer. You know, prayer is a Jewish concept. And I'd like to share with you one of the ways you can use the concept of prayer. And I utilized this the other day myself. I was sitting with Rabbi Trupp, one of my colleagues, and a fellow came up to us, a young man, and he said, can I sit down with you? And we said, sure. Yeah, so straight away my colleague gives him, you know, one of these cards. I was very impressed. Within 5 minutes he's got his details. What is your phone number, email address? Fantastic, great. So when he got up, he's about to go, I said to Rabbi Trupp, do you mind if I just, you know, say something to him? So, you know, he was a young 75. So I asked him, do you ever pray? And he said it was a classic answer. He said, no, except when I'm in trouble. It was amazing. No, except when I'm in trouble. So I said to him, let me tell you a joke. There are many prayer jokes, but jokes are good because they break the ice. When you talk about prayer, you're talking about God. That's a serious topic. So So I wanted to tell him a little joke with a point to it. So I shared with him, listen, you know, there was once a guy, he was on a bicycle. He was on the top of a hill. And all of a sudden, the bike goes out of control, and he falls over the precipice. And it's a long way down. And Baruch Hashem, halfway down, he's able to grab onto a branch that's sticking out of the cliff face. And he's there, and he looks down, and it's a 100-meter drop, right? He looks up, no way back up. And one problem, he's a committed atheist, right? So what are you going to do? So guess what? You know, wipes his forehead with one of his hands. I guess in a hands must be hard to do. And he looks up and he says, God, if you're there, I want to apologize about a few things. You know, I know I've ignored you my whole life, and I haven't really, you know, I haven't listened to you, and I know that's not really very nice, and I'm sure you don't appreciate it that much. But listen here. I'm in a spot of trouble right now, you know, and I could really, if you're there, I could really do with your help. And I'm committing now, whatever you tell me to do from now on, I'm doing it, okay, I'm with you. So lo and behold, a voice comes out of the sky and says, yes, it's me, God. So he says, oh, thank God, I'm so pleased that you're there. So the voice says, listen to what I'm going to tell you to do. He says, sure, I'll do whatever you want. The voice says, let go of the branch. He looks down. He looks up. Anybody else up there? So I shared this with this elderly man. Right? And I said to him, listen, when we want God, we call out to him. When we think he's telling us to do something which doesn't fit in with our lifestyle, or if we don't feel we need him anymore, then we drop God like a hot potato. He's gone. I gave him childhood friends who was an atheist said that, but there was one time I went up to the top of a mountain and I saw the most incredible view. And then I came down again. You know, for that moment, I believed there must be an infinite creator of the universe. I mean, the beauty. So, well, what happened? Then I came down again and he disappeared. Committed atheist. So I said to this fellow, God doesn't disappear. You see, what does it mean if someone prays to God? It means that you believe that there's an infinite being that runs the world, that he can help, that any time you can call out to him, you don't even have to make an appointment. It's like, you know, like, you know, if you want to make a point with the president, you've got to go through a lot of red tape. But who will the president always speak to? I hope. Who will the president always speak to? Who will? What's that? The vice president. Who else? His wife, his family, his children. We are the, what does it mean that we can always call out to the infinite being? We are his children. He's always going to take our call. But that's what prayer is. That there's an infinite being who loves us. What does it mean that an atheist who's ignored God his whole life can feel at the same time that if I can call out to the Almighty and he's really there, he will help me? What does it mean? It means that even the biggest atheist understands that the love that the Almighty has for us is so unconditional that even if you've ignored him your whole life, he'll still be there for you. Isn't that unbelievable? Even an atheist appreciates that. And it's true. Because the Almighty's love for us is unconditional. So I said to him, and I said this to this boy, I said to the boy straight away, I said, do you ever pray? And he said, yes. I said, you know what? If you had a multi-millionaire genius on your side who loved you more than anyone, would you leave him alone? I mean, you're coming up to me for a little bit of money. If you knew a multi-billionaire, right, and he has a tremendous wisdom, can help you with your problems, and really loves you, would you leave him alone? You wouldn't leave him alone. God has more resources than any multi-billionaire, has more understanding of life than any genius, and loves you more than any human being. You're going to leave him alone? Don't leave him alone. Speak to the Almighty. Even in English, in your own words, the Almighty understands English very well. You know, he didn't take any of these courses that you can get, but he can do it just without those courses, right? He understands. And that's the essence of prayer. The essence of prayer is to speak to the Almighty and make requests of him in your own words. It's not reciting texts before the Almighty, which you don't, you know the joke, the person gets to Shemayim, and he's about, and the Almighty is about to speak to him, and he hears, you know, and finally God speaks, and he goes, blurp. Says, well, sorry, you're, you know, I didn't quite catch that, do you mind? So, yeah, the Almighty goes, sure. He says, and maybe I don't understand. So the Almighty says, listen, you know, that's what you did for, you know, every day you get up to Shimon Restra and you go, blah, 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 to me, I'm just giving you a taste of your own medicine. So we have to understand, yeah, that prayer, the essence of prayer is speaking, is communicating. Speak to the Almighty. Share what's bothering you. We understand, Moshe Rabbeinu, kel na rafa na la, right? Just to say a request to the Almighty, the fulfillment of the mitzvah deraisa of prayer. Just to ask the Almighty for things. Speak it out. It's good to acknowledge who the Almighty is, to say thanks at the end. That's good. Once, before you go to sleep at night, speak to the Almighty. And that can open up a whole world. So this is one of the ways you can use prayer. I'll give you another way you can use it. Anytime you know someone who has a problem of any type, what should you do? Say, you know what? I know you're going through a hard time now. I know that there's someone, even if it's not them, I know there's someone in your family that means a lot to you that's sick. Give me the name. Give me the Hebrew name. Right? And I'll pray for you. Do you know what that means? Even if they don't claim to believe in God, or they do believe in God. Do you know what that means? This is one of the things we teach on the Kirov training, that 95% of Kirov is caring. Love people and bring them to Torah. You cannot. That, why does the Mishnah say it in that order? Because that's the first step. You have to first of all love people, and they have to feel that you love them, and then they'll be open to what you have to say. Don't skip that. You can't skip that. You have to love people, care about them sincerely, and then you can bring them to Torah. Ohev is a brius umakarvan la Torah. But. The fact that you will care enough about them to pray, you ask them for their name, their Hebrew name, and say, "I'm going to pray to you for you." That's a fantastic thing, and they will appreciate it. And you know what you do next is you say that, you know, I've been praying for you for a while. Maybe, you know what? It's considered, the Torah says, even better than me praying for you is if you pray for you. You know, the Almighty will answer your prayers more than he'll answer mine for you. So maybe you could pray. What do you think about that? So you can, one thing leads to the next. You get the Hebrew name. You can look it up, find out what the Hebrew name, if it's a name from Tanakh, you say, well, it's a family class. Do you know about David? Your name's David. Do you know about David the Melech? You can learn about David the Melech. Let's learn about David the Melech together. You've got enough material now for the next few years, right? You know, on age.com, they have Hebrew names, men and women Hebrew names. If for those of you who have internet or go onto internet, you don't, Yashikoach. But those at work, for example, you have internet. So if you can look up their Hebrew names, and it will tell you what does it mean, right? You can either share that with them, or you can share, you know, the website, or you can just tell them, you know, print it up, give it to them, right? That's also a way. The truth of the matter is also on age.com, it has, if you know their birthday, you can tell them, you can find out what happened on their birthday, what famous thing in Jewish history happened on there. It's also interesting. But this is always a pass-up for you. Once you've got their Hebrew and their birthday, you can start learning with them, get them to start praying, say that I pray. I'll pray for you around candlelighting time, you know, for a woman that's a mesugal dicker time to pray for someone. Maybe that would be a pass-up for them. You know, do you ever do any candlelighting? You know, these are always in. Now, I want you to get onto a couple of different scenarios. We have a little bit of time. I don't know how much time we have for both scenarios at this point. So let's just take a case. Let's just take a case. We'll see how we go. Let's say, and I want to throw it out to you. You know someone who is a single person. I'm going to keep it very broad, because part of the chup of kiruv is actually better than me just speaking, and you hear some interesting ideas from me. You have to get into the sort of mindset of thinking about how to do kiruv yourself. So I wanted to throw out, let's take a very simple, broad case. A single person. What would you think about doing kiruv with a single person? What would you say? I want you to give it a little thought. And I'd like to just take some responses. A single person. Obviously, we're talking broad generalities, right? Well, what would you think to do in terms of being Makarov, a single person? So, who's got something to say? Yes?
Are they looking to get married? They eventually and fall off? And if the answer is no, it's not about it. What do they want the kids to be?
Okay, so excellent. So the first point is, are they looking to get married? What's the answer to that? Usually? Yes. A single person, I mean, look, they're 10 years old. We're talking about a single person is in the dating range, right? Single people are looking to meet someone. Right? This is something which is a tremendous kiruv opportunity. They're looking to meet someone. Okay, great. So how do you follow, what were you going to say? Okay, good. So that's a mahalach in general. In general, let's just deal with that right now. We invited her to a meal on Sukkot. So that is, always the ability to invite someone to your home, if they are open to it, is usually it's a home run. No pun intended. It's a home run. Right? Why? Because really, as I said before, 95% of kiruv is caring. Somebody asked before about, you know, inviting people for Shabbos. So let's just put these two together. That, you see, when people come to your home on a Shabbos, and they see a family that's sitting together, and they get the sense that, you know what, this happens every week, right? First of all, most people in this generation are very isolated. You know, they're out there, they're not spending time with their families, or they're caught up in the rat race. There's all kinds of things that they are not. To actually even see a family that sits together can be a very profound experience. That's number one. Second of all, they're getting this fantastic food. You know, how often do you do this game? Like once a year? It's like Thanksgiving? No, I do this every week. So when you get into your home, again, no, you know, you don't like, you know, okay, now let's find out what his philosophical outlook is and try and destroy it. Don't do that, right? What do you do
you care about them. Listen to them. Find out what are they doing in life. What are they interested in? What was their favorite vacation? What do they aspire to? What is their family situation? Just care. And that will be the biggest medicine that you can give. The fact that you care, that you listen, that they've got their own questions, that's great, you know. But you don't have to prove anything. You don't have to come up with any phenomenally brilliant Dvar Torah. You know, probably if you have children who can say Dvar Torah, be more impressive than anything you're going to say. Just the fact that they get up and they're saying this. You know, if you're very daring, you want to sing and dance around the table. You know, but even the singing, you know, even just the singing at the table. When was the last time that this person sang at a table when they were eating? You know, I forgive you for saying, I know some people don't like it when I say this, but I probably the last time you got drunk. You know, it's not why. Because what does it mean when you sing at the table? It means that you're enjoying life. That's what it means. When they come and they see the food and they see the family and they see on Shabbos, they come in with their neshama and yisera, and yes, it's pretty good too, right? They, you know, it can have a very profound effect. So certainly a single person is open to this type of, it's easier because they're single, they're not committed, it's not coming in and bringing my family, and, you know, if they want to come, that's great. Now, in terms of just having to deal very briefly with the obviously halachic issues here, which I just want to stop on, which is that, you know, inviting someone for Shabbos and you know they're going to drive. So there is a range of poskim on this particular issue. Our standard response is, if you have a rav, ask your rav the shayla. We don't, you know, we're not overriding anybody's rav. That's the right thing to do is you ask your rav and find out what he holds. But you should know there are poskim that osa completely. There are many poskim nowadays, especially, and that will say the following: that if you invite someone in a way that they could stay for the whole Shabbos, if they choose not to, then you've taken off from the lifnei iva, and that's fine. And there are poskim or more makel than that that say, listen, if your goal is to be makar of someone and that's what you're trying to get them into the geder, you're allowed to invite someone. There are poskim like that too. So you have to ask your poskim. We asked Rav David Cohen and he told us like middle psak, right, that you can ask. If you can get them to stay for Shabbos and if you can provide them with a Shabbos place, even if they say no, then you are allowed to invite them. So you have to ask your psak. But if you have a heter, then it's a wonderful heter because it gives you tremendous opportunity to bring people into your home and develop that crucial first step, which is the relationship. And at the same time, if it's Yom Tov or if it's Shabbos, you're also giving them the taste of Yiddishkeit as well. If you can't do it that way, then go out for a cup of coffee. I know that there's Rabbi Klatsko who works on campus for the Wolfsons. He did a kilo training for us, and he told us that's what he does. He calls it coffeeing. You meet someone, you get in a conversation, you say, let's do coffee, right? That's it, let's do coffee. And you just speak to them, right? You say, let's do coffee, right? So you can do that with single people as well pretty easily. So fine. But let's come back to a person, yes, so they're interested in marriage, right? So what are you going to do? Where do you go with this? How do you get your hands on this issue to do kirov? They're interested in marriage.
Is it a little more complicated because you're going to start a personal relationship with them?
Yeah.
Marriage is one facet of the relationship that you're having with them because you're talking to them. And P.S. by the way, you're invited to come to a wonderful meal.
Right.
Right? So, yeah, I mean, maybe you're the type of family that has other people who are single coming over and maybe not.
Right.
But isn't the point that you're talking?
Okay, very good. So you're right, 100%. The ick of any kirov relationship is you're talking, which is what you have to talk to these people, like Rabbi Milton. You got to start talking. You know, one of the things that I do when I'm just to practice, meaning it's hard to talk to people. You kind of like get, you know, cold feet. When I work in Manhattan on the 20th floor of a building, whenever I go into the elevator, if there's a guy who walks in, whoever he is, I'll start talking to him. Because I know that I've got to start talking. This is part of what I need to do. And even I, with all my experience, I'm a little afraid of it still. So I get a night, he comes in and I say, nice weather today.
He says, no, it's raining outside. Oh, I'm sorry. He says, do you work in the building? You say, yeah, well, how long have you been working here for? Whatever it is, you know, having a good day, having a bad... Just start getting into talking, because you can't get anywhere without that. So certainly, you need to talk and have a relationship and get into your home. In general, that is the mahalach. I'm just picking up with singles. There's a tremendous opportunity here, which this gentleman pointed out, which is they're interested in getting married. And unfortunately, let's put it this way, in our generation, you know, 50% divorce rate, we understand that. People don't know how to date, they don't know how to meet the right person, they don't know, you know, so there's a tremendous amount of wisdom that we have in the Torah that they can benefit from. People, you know, one of the things that we share with people is that people think, you say to someone, were you ever infatuated? If you ask that to people smile like you're smiling. Right? People don't always smile. Yeah, there was a time, right? So you say, well, tell me, ask you a question. When you're infatuated, did you think that you were in love? They say, yeah, that's right. You always think you're in love when you're infatuated. So they say, tell me something. You want to get married? He says, yeah. So, well, when you get married, you want to marry someone because you're in love, not because you're infatuated, right? He says, of course. So when you're infatuated, you think you're in love, then how do you know when you get married you're going to be in love and not infatuated? Ooh, that's a good question. I know that. And it's a real problem. Why? Because many, many people get married because they're infatuated. And what happens after, you know, however long it takes for the infatuation to fade, 6 months, a year, and then you say, well, what, you know, who is this person I'm living with? See you later. 50% divorce rate. I'm not saying it's the only reason, but I personally have seen this so many times, and especially in secular dating, when you get involved in a physical relationship, which means the infatuation and the blindness comes on much stronger. So then this is a real issue. So you say, you know, you can share with them. One of the things to share with them, and this is the point that I wanted to make, was wisdom for living. There is a tremendous amount of wisdom for living that the Torah has, because the Torah leaves hafachba v'hafachba d'kulaba. It's all in there. Every aspect of living is dealt with in the Torah. So whatever they're dealing with in their lives, even not, you know, you're not coming on to, listen, how do you like to put on tefillin? Or, you know, how do you like to wear a shaitel? Or how do you like, I got a great kapata for you. Now don't, wait a minute, you know. If you can share with them wisdom for living that they are interested on their in their own lives, this is a very powerful thing. And really, in my opinion, it's one of the greatnesses of Rav Noach Weinberg Shlita, that he was able to take a lot of the Torah and put it into wisdom that's very relatable to and useful for a secular person and of course for ourselves. So two things that he has are, for example, there's 48 ways to wisdom, which is the Memches Tvarim in the sixth mission and the sixth parakel of Pirkei Avos, that the Torah is acquired with 48 ways. So he has a shiur on each one. You can get either on Aish.com or Aish Audio. If you go to Aish Audio 1-800 Voices 3, I didn't have that written down. I have some of what I'm saying on handouts upstairs. If you can get, there's 50 sheets I printed up. I didn't realize we're going to have such a wonderfully big olam tonight. So I printed up 50 sheets of that. So I have some of what I'm saying on the sheets written out. You can make a mad dash upstairs to get them if you want, or maybe we can email them to people who have email as well. But 1-800-VOICE-3-H-AUDIO or haudio.com has the 48 ways to wisdom. They actually, you know, you can listen to them for free now as Chus L'Refuah Shleimah for the Rosh Yeshiva. They're doing something now. But this has the most incredible wisdom for living that they need. So if you learn that yourself, and you can share it. Another thing is that the Rosh Yeshiva teaches is five levels of pleasure. That all pleasures in the world, in life can be put into five different categories. He learns it out from the mitzvah of Avos Hashem and the Sefer Chinuch. And it's absolutely genius. What the pleasures are and what's the counterfeit pleasures. And the reality is, if you learn this, you'll see that every human being is basically dealing with, well, they're in one of these different levels of pleasure that they're looking for happiness. But they're not quite, you know, they're not getting, or they're going for the counterfeit, they're trying to indulge, they don't realize that's not really going to give them the pleasure. Or they want love and they're really getting infatuation. You know, they want self-respect, they don't know how to get it. They want meaning, they don't know, they're going for a false sense of meaning, they're living for their jobs, their families, they're into some cult, God forbid. And spirituality. It's fascinating wisdom for living. So I included the, how you can find out, the articles and the tapes. that you can listen to, CDs, MP3s, whatever it is these days, that can help you with these things. But I'm just giving you, this is a Mahalach in Kiruv, insights for living that they will benefit from even now. So even on dating, right? So let's just to take this example. You know, you can say to someone, look, you know, Judaism gives the definition of love. So I'm very fortunate to be a Talmud of the Rosh Yeshiva, and he says this is the definition, which he learned out also from the mitzvah of Avodah Hashem in the Rambam. He says the mitzvah, the definition of love, okay, is the emotional pleasure you feel when you see the virtues of a human being and you identify them with their virtues. That's when you feel love. You meet someone, oh, he's such a caring, sensitive, kind person. I love him. And what's hate? This guy. He thinks he's God's gift to mankind. He thinks he's the center of the universe. He's like, you know, I can't stand him. That's when you hate, because you see his faults, you identify with his faults, you see the virtue. What's infatuation? Infatuation is a person who's just met this guy. He's so wonderful, he's so amazing, so perfect. It feels like love, because it's a feeling of virtue. So what's the difference? The difference is, who loves us the most in general?
Mother.
Our parents. Ourselves, that's the nice answer, right? Really, the real answer is the Kodesh Baruch Hu. But who loves us the most? Which people, right? Our parents, usually speaking. Who gives us the most criticism? Our parents, right? When you love someone, you know them. You see the good and the bad. But if you would say to my mother, yeah, I know all the wonderful things about your son, but isn't it true that he's a hypochondriac, megalomaniac, kleptomaniac as well? So yeah, that's true, but you know, it's just the way I brought him up, he doesn't really mean to be that way. You identify someone with the virtues and you accept their faults, you excuse them, that's not the essence of who they are. They're struggling against that. That's what it means to love someone. Infatuation, what's infatuation? Infatuation is you think the person's perfect. You don't see any faults at all. You're on cloud nine. Rabbi Weinberg always says, if you met the perfect girl, run a million miles because you are infatuated. In Western society, they say love is blind. That's wrong. They mean infatuation. They confuse the two. Infatuation is about when you love someone, you see their faults with a magnifying glass. So this is an insight that you can share with people. You say, want to know more about this? Go to ace.com and there's a whole section on dating. I had it again on the handouts upstairs. There's a whole section on dating, so you can give them wisdom for living on dating. And that could be many forms. Either it's through a website, through going through I listed upstairs some of the articles I thought were very good articles. I'm sure they're all good, but the ones I seem to see that they were very good. But they have hundreds of those articles over there on dating on age.com. You might want to give them a book. There's a book called Death of Cupid by Nachum Braverman and Shimon Apostol. Shimon Apostol, very famous for his survival kits of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur survival kit books, which you can buy with a guy sleeping on the front in shul. Which is a great book. It's all about having relationships the Torah way. I think there's a book, Mind to Heart, I haven't read it, by Gilan Anelson. I think that's also on the Jewish approach to dating. I'm not familiar with it so much myself, but I think that these are things, this can help them. So, or alternatively, you might say, listen, I think I can help you meet someone. How do they meet someone? You know, if they're in their 20s, you can say, you know, and they live in the New York greater area, you say to them, listen, you know, go to Aish New York, or go to MJE, or go to, you know, if they're a little younger, JEC. These are also places where you can meet people. You can meet, you know, and even, you know, there are programs that are designed so you can will help you meet someone more easily. You sit at a table, you have a meal, and then you have the first course, and then you switch around and for the second course, you meet new people or whatever, or might be interesting questions with some depth to it that you can discuss and to get to know someone. All these places are fantastic places for you to meet someone. So that's something you can give. If they're younger, I just wanted to mention this one, that somebody who's at university, this is what I consider the best thing you can give them, if you can, it's a home run again, if you can give it, if they take it, it's called Eish Cafe. What's Eish Cafe? Eish Cafe is you listen to 10 classes, and you can get $250, right? That sounds pretty good, isn't it? You have to take a little test at the end to see how you did. But, you know, how do you like $250? Right? And not only that, but the classes will really help you with life. It's dealing with all these types of things. They're fantastic classes. Or, an alternative, I believe, is that you take, if you want to get credits, you're interested in college credits, go to Age Cafe, right? Age Cafe, you can get college credits. You pay $30 this time, right? But you take the, I think you get 3 college credits for taking the course. So that's pretty good. This is very, very simple. The other thing with people in this age group is if they're in up below 27, yeah, then get them to Israel. GoIsrael.org. You know, there are very, very cheap trips to Israel. It's such a people's experience of it, of these, even the most secular people, these are the most fantastic experiences of their life. You haven't been to Israel? You've got to go on one of these trips. GoIsrael.org will tell you about all the different types of trips that they can get. So this is one way. Now, and I'm just trying to give you a sense, you know, of if they're single, you talk about dating. If they're married, what do you want to deal with? What's that? Children? Staying married. You know, even the ones who stay married, not so happy, you know. So it's not quite as exciting as dating, you know. But, you know, there's tremendous. Age.com has a whole section on marriage. H.com has a whole section on parenting, and their books. You know, you can get books on what's the parent. Rabbi Kellerman has a fantastic book, To Kindle a Soul, which was, you know, even in the secular bookstores was one of the top sellers. So these are things. I'm just trying to use these examples to give you a sense of how to go about doing Kirov with people that you meet. I'd like to. I see the time is getting late, so I'd just like to finish off with a couple. With I know that you have. Let me just see this in front of you, which is, this is a very simple way of reaching out, which is something that we've had done for the last couple of years, which is, these are, everybody can do this. Give to somebody, you know, a little Hanukkah gift with a little card, which has a little bit of a meaningful note in it about, we wrote something about dreidel, right, and the meaning of dreidel. But it's a beautiful, small little card, you'll see it upstairs, and a little gift. It's very cheap for you. Doing something, giving someone like this can touch someone. The essence of it is chesed, that you thought about me, but at the same time it gets them thinking a little bit about Hanukkah, and you're making a connection with them that also has something of a Yiddish connection. But it's a very, then you can talk about it. Did you read the little thing? What did you think about it? You know, invite them, follow up. I see that we have here. Does everybody have these as well? 5 easy ways to reach out to Hanukkah. I haven't even seen these yet. But these are also, you can follow up with other ways. Invite them out for a, send them an email if or invite or tell them to go to h.com Hanukkah or invite them to your home for a Hanukkah party. These are all things which are coming up and can really make a difference. The other thing which you have in front of you is a questionnaire which will help us very greatly, both in terms of how we can help you in terms of your kirov. So if you just look at this very quickly, I would like to play a role in making Project Smart successful. Answers many. There are different things that you can do. I just like to, which we, as I said in the beginning, we want you to be able to be effective in reaching out, but we want you also to help us reach other from people, to help them understand that this is so urgent and crucial in our generation. So one of the things is a home group film showing. I mean, you may be aware that Asia's or Project Inspire has put out films Inspired 2, From the Ashes. We have shorter films called You Can Reach Out. You know, if you want to show one of these to a group of your friends and have a discussion about the importance of Kirov in our generation and how you can do it, we'll help you with that. Tick that. If you want to organize a Kirov training seminar for 7 to 10 people that I know in my home or area, meaning if you think you can get 7 to 10 people to your house, we will send someone to your home. Probably won't be necessarily, may not be someone on our staff, and maybe people who have trained to learn how to teach the Kirov training, but are very effective, and we can send someone like that. We can even train you to do it. But if you're interested in that, or volunteer for a future Project Inspire event, that's that section. Based on your past Kirov experience, where do you see yourself now? It's very helpful for us to get a sense of who are we speaking to. Are you people who have been involved in Kirov? You don't have any Kirov experience? Just for us to get a sense of who the audience is that we're talking to, that would be very helpful. What can Project Inspire offer you to help move forward? So these are things that we can do to help you. First of all, conference calls with Kirov professionals. We do conference calls. that you can sign up for if you're interested in that. We have had Becher, Orlovsky, many different people on conference calls, or live evenings of inspiration more like this. Also, we do coaching. If you're interested in a Kiruv coach, we have Kiruv coaches that will call you for a limited amount of time, but help you. Who are you trying to reach out? You know what to do. You can discuss it with them, and they'll help you move along. The other thing is an e-group. For those of you who have email, one of the most effective things we've found is that people who are interested in reaching out, they reach out, they report back what they did to a group. And it gives a natural community of people who are mechazik each other. We'll watch the email and help you as well. But if that's something that you're interested in doing, sign up there. I happen to be a very strong believer that that's one of the most powerful things and the easiest ways of developing your commitment to Kira. You don't have to go anywhere. You can just, you know, if you have those means, then that's a wonderful thing. And anything else? What topics would you like covered at Project Inspire events? If you came to the advanced Kira training already, I would like to join a monthly conference call geared towards advanced Kira training, or I would like to join a monthly event geared towards advanced Kira training, or I would like to be trained as a presenter for a local home Kira training. Anybody like to be trained as a presenter? Tick that one. And also, how did you find out about tonight? So if you could take a couple minutes just to fill that out, that would be great. I'd like to just finish with just a story from the Rosh Yeshiva that I heard many, many times. But it's I find it very moving. And the Rosh Yeshiva used to say that his relatives used to tease him and say, Rav Noach, they would say, you know, it used to be that tzaddikim would have on their gravestones that I brought someone back to Torah, or made a Baal Tshuva. I think the Tosfos Yontos grave, they say they have something like that. I haven't seen it myself, but I heard so. But yeah, I brought one person back. But you brought back, what is it, hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, you know, how could it possibly be? And he said, it used to bother him for years, he didn't know how to answer them. How could he answer them? Until one day, he saw a crane. And the crane was moving a pallet, which had bricks in it. And the crane was moving the pallet, and it came, as the pallet came down, and as it was putting this huge pallet of heavy bricks down, a couple of guys come over to the pallet and kind of ease it down onto the ground. So the Rosh Yeshiva would say, a fool looks at those men and says, wow, those men must be Hercules. Look at them. You know how heavy that pallet is? And they're putting it down on the ground. That's unbelievable strength. And the wise man says, nah, you got it all wrong. The crane is moving the pallet. Those guys are just getting in place to help it get it settled down in the right place. So the Rosh Hashanah would say, the Rabbeinu Shalom promises us that the Jewish people will do tshuva. It's going to happen. The Almighty is moving the crane. I'm just getting my hands in place to just help the people settle down into Yiddishkeit. But the Almighty is moving the crane. So what's the lesson for us? The lesson for us is that's true for Him, it's true for us. Rabbeinu Shalom, we're living in days which are very troubled days. And then the days of Mashiach, the birth pangs are certainly not here. The Almighty is bringing, you know, even the Baal Tshuva in and of itself, it's so much easier now than 100 years ago. It used to be that people would go to Bnei Brak and say, look, over there, there's one guy, he's a Baal Tshuva, and everybody used to come and look at that one guy. Nowadays, Baruch Hashem, because the Almighty is moving the crane, and it's up to us. If we can show the Almighty, we want your children back. I'm going to put in the hishtalos. I'm going to try. Then the Almighty will get a very big pallet, which can get a lot of our brothers and sisters inside, and He'll settle them down with us, with Torah mitzvahs, if we care enough to make the effort. Thank you very much. There is just also.